Here comes Monsignor.
Welcome to the JDV Productions Podcast.
Trouble here on the front stretch. One car hard to the outside wall.
Interviews with the biggest stars.
Man, I can't give it up enough to this team, but especially Tommy Baldwin, man. I've had a lot of fun with him over the years, and it's just getting better.
Go behind the scenes. In-depth storytelling. Catch up on all things JDV.
Together, JVD Productions and Josh Mineta.
The JDV Productions Podcast.
Your champion.
Starts now.
Welcome back to another episode of the JDV Productions Podcast. My name is Josh Vineta, CEO and founder of JDV Productions. Today, my guest is 2023 NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour Champion, Ron Silk. Ron, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So, Ron, lots of people will recognize you as a multi-time NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour Champion, but I think in light of that, they probably don't know how you got your start. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in motorsports.
Yeah, I got started at a young age. My father was part of the LaJoy's racing team, Randy LaJoy, and his father, Don. They raced at Danbury Fairgrounds here in Connecticut. So he was always, as soon as I was old enough to start racing a go-kart, I think I started when I was 7. And basically my father was instrumental in getting me going.
That's been the case for so many of us. I mean, my dad was a racer as well, and that's how I came to fall in love with the sport, though on a different side. So talk a little bit about why modifieds, because you've spent most of your career behind the wheel of one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to do with, first of all, they're really cool cars. I think everyone that sees one, that's always the first thing they say. And the location here in Connecticut is kind of the hotbed, New England, of modified racing. So I would say, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I had some aspirations of getting farther in a racing career, but that didn't really work out. And I had a lot of fun racing the modifieds then, and I just kind of stuck with it.
And which track would you, of the Connecticut tracks where you started racing, which of the tracks would you actually call home?
Yeah, it's funny. I originally started at Waterford, didn't stay there for very long, like maybe one season, and then ran Stafford for probably 2 years, maybe three, raced Thompson every once in a while. But I guess if I was going to pick my home track in the state, it'd be Stafford.
Okay, got it. And I remember at one point, going back, I think you raced in the Sunoco Modifieds at Thompson when I was there weekly, if I remember right, probably like 2010-ish.
Yeah, that's right. I had started driving for Eddie Partridge right around that time. And, he was pretty involved with SKs and Sunoco Modifieds at the time. We did that for like a year or two and then tried to focus more on our tour efforts.
Right. Sure. So earlier on this season, we interviewed your crew chief, Phil Moran, and he told us how everything kind of came together with the formation of the team that you drive for now, HYR Racing. But share from your perspective, getting the driver's perspective, what it's been like to see your team come together just a few years ago, strengthening, and you could see that you guys have been up in the point standing since you started, and this year finally able to get it done.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, this is how I hoped it would turn out when I came over to drive for these guys full time. I think getting Phil Moran was certainly a great thing for our team. I had some experience. Obviously, I had quite a bit of experience driving, but it was a new owners that kind of needed someone to be in control of the whole thing. So I think that's been really important. And, last year was our first year together running full time on the tour. And we ran well for whatever reason. We just couldn't get over the hump and get into victory lane. And that's kind of what kept us from winning the championship the first year, just not enough bonus points. So it was really nice to start this season with a win. We had the pressure of going all season last year on the tour without a win. So to get that out of the way, the first race this year was great. And I think that kind of just gave us the, I mean, I, I believe we all knew we could do it, but once we finally did it, there was just a weight lifted off our back and we're really able to perform at a high level all year.
Yeah, you guys were exceptionally consistent. Talk a little bit about, so you mentioned that Tyler and Joe were new car owners on the tour. How did your relationship with them get started?
Well, it had started, realistically, my wife's father, Don King, owned tour cars for many years. And at one point, Tyler Haight, one of my owners, drove for him. It was like 2005. And I didn't really meet him then. That was a year I didn't race the tour. I was kind of just getting started with tour stuff at the time. But through some mutual friends, and he needed someone to drive his car at some of the open races, so he gave me a call and I went and did it. So that's kind of how I met Tyler and Joe. Joe, they're both from Pennsylvania, like the Lehigh area of Pennsylvania. So they were going in on this together, and just feel fortunate that I was able to get the chance to do it.
Cool. So and talk a little bit about, you mentioned how, you know, Phil coming in and really, you know, leading the team in the day to day and stuff like that. How does Phil come into the picture? So you guys obviously had known each other from way back. And then a relationship kind of kindles and you get started with Joe and Tyler, but how does Phil get involved?
Well, you know, at that point, the two team had shut down and Doug Kobe was running his own operation that Phil was taking care of. And it seemed like, you know, I'd heard grumblings that they weren't going to go on any farther, that, you know, they weren't going to be a full-time team anyway. So obviously at that time, our cars were being housed in Pennsylvania, and you know, my car owners, Joe and Tyler they just didn't have the time to work on the cars like they would need to be worked on to go tour racing. So we all saw it as a great opportunity to approach Phil and see if he'd be interested in taking the job. And luckily for us, he was. So the cars and all the equipment got moved here to Connecticut, and it's been a good fit ever since.
Yeah, it has. One of the things Phil mentioned that I thought was really interesting on the podcast is he mentioned that both you and Doug actually have something similar in common, which is you can give excellent feedback. You know, and he particularly mentioned with you that you actually, not only can you give excellent feedback, but you actually might have some suggestions on the adjustments that you could make because of your time around modifieds. What's it like being the driver and giving that feedback and working with Phil? Cause you know, Phil, obviously multi-time championship winning crew chief, you're a multi-time champion. I imagine that just kind of fits really well with a yin and a yang and makes both of your jobs a lot easier because Phil knows that you're coming at it from his perspective as well.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this for a long time and have had my own cars, and no matter what car I've driven, I've tried to be involved in working on them as much as I can, and like how they work and what makes them go and what changes do what. So, you know, it's an intimidating thing to make suggestions to a guy like Phil, who's had so much success, but he's not like that at all. He's, you know, very open-minded, very easy to work with. And we really have similar ideas anyway. So it's been really good to work with Phil.
That's awesome. So at my last race of the season, which was the Winchester Fair at Monadnock, you were involved in an incident early in the race. And by early, we mean like at the start finish line. There are always kind of those types of moments that happen in a championship run where things could go either way. Walk us through like what you guys were thinking, and were there other moments during the year where it was like, oh boy.
Well, I mean, we were thinking this sucks, this isn't good while it was happening. But you know, the odd thing is throughout the entire year, we really didn't have a lot of close calls. I had a couple close calls in the final race at Martinsville and was luckily able to avoid trouble. But, you know, we had just run so well and so consistently all year. A lot of top, you know, a good amount of wins, a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds. I wasn't worried that we weren't going to be able to bounce back from Monadnock. I thought we would go to the next race and have a chance to win, which we were in content, you know, had a shot to win But you got to just keep pressing forward and make the best of that particular day, which we did. I think we ended up 12th at Monadnock, so could have been a worse result than that. But, you know, we just didn't have enough things go wrong where we ever felt we were out of it. We always felt we still, you know, if we race to our potential, that it was obviously going to be close at the end between, you know, us and the 51.
Yeah. And you guys had multiple stops during the Winchester Fair where I remember you coming in and, you know, you beelined it back out and you beat the pace car back out. And so, you know, stayed on the lead lap and you guys just kept working at it. And I think, you know, in all of my time promoting races and watching the modified tour, it's moments like that for championship teams where, like you said, you know, you guys weren't afraid. I mean, it sucked in the moment, but you guys weren't afraid that it was going to derail things and you just had to stay about, keep your wits all about you and act like professionals. And you guys did that, you know, because it would have been easy for somebody to freak out. And, you know, there goes a championship run because it was so close at that point between you and the 51 car. I mean, all the way down to the end. But at that particular moment, you guys were separated by mere points, basically.
Yeah, well, it was actually odd. The week before that, I had won at Oswego and Justin had crashed out of the race. I don't know where he finished, somewhere around probably 15th or something. And no one on my team, but you could just tell in general, people, we had been so close all year that I had a little bit of a cushion and could get the vibe that people were like, oh, you're in good shape now, you got this covered. And I thought to myself, like, same thing could happen to us at any moment. And it didn't take long for it to happen. It happened the following week. And it kind of reset us back to where we were dead even again. So can never take a lead for granted by any means, and just got to keep working hard and doing the best you can every week.
Yeah, for sure. So Ron, I mean, you know, every championship special, obviously, but for you, what makes this one, how do you compare this one to your last one? And what makes this one special? What was special about the last one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one was really special. I think the first of anything, you know, you're never going to forget. I would say at the time when I won in 2011, I was 28 years old and I had a really great ride at the time with Eddie Partridge, which I was with for, you know, quite a few years after that. But I just thought that I would get more of them. Like, that was my mindset at the time. Like, you know, I'm in a good spot here. We can keep this going. And I mean, we ran well after that, but it didn't work out and we didn't win again. So I would say I have a little more perspective on it this time around. 12 years is a pretty long time to go between it. So kind of, you know, feel a little redemption that I was able to get another one. And I mean, this one's really special too, just doing it with a team that's, you know, in the early stages of its life. They're both really special. They're both something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I mean, too, you know, thinking back to, you know, Eddie, who unfortunately has left us, but I mean, that was a great championship. I remember you guys celebrating that one at Thompson, for sure. And then, you know, now this one, like you said, you know, for a different reason, very special with a brand new team. So, you know, speaking of like now your second championship in 12 years time and all that, and, you know, I think it's becoming clear that you and Doug Coby and Justin Bonsignor are becoming kind of the elder statesmen, though you guys are all young. You're becoming kind of like the elder statesmen on the tour. Do you feel any like weight or pressure or like responsibility of kind of being in that role as one of the senior drivers on the tour, who's very accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel any weight of that. I guess, you know, I try and be professional and always do the best job that I can. But there's no real, you know, I don't know. I don't. It's kind of an odd question because we don't really have a lot of. I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, we don't have a lot of say in what goes on and stuff like that. So I just always try and do the best job I can. I'm sure the other guys, you know, feel the same way.
They do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, actually, in one of our podcasts. Doug in classic Doug form, you know, just like he's, you know, pointing out that he's old and, you know, all the rest of the things that Doug Coby would say to a question like that one. Well, Ron, thanks so much for the time. For people who want to stay up to date on your team, you guys are super active on Facebook, the HYR Facebook page, so they can stay in touch with you guys there and see what's going on. At the time of this recording, it's actually before the banquet, but we will have celebrated Ron officially as the 2023 NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour champion in Nashville. So we are looking forward to that. Thanks again for your time, Ron. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thanks very much.